Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Jason.
everyone. You're still listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's interview, once again, is with Mr. Ricky Jason. Mr. Jason directed the documentary for the life and tragic death of Mr. James Byrd Jr., featuring Mr. Dick Gregory, who is deceased now. The interview will be about the drive-by truck lynching of Mr. James Byrd Jr. and the three men who killed him. And also, we will talk about the documentary. Good afternoon, Mr. James.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Ms. Angela Butler. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing good.
Yes, first of all, I thank and I praise God that we all have made it here safe today. And I pray to God that your return and my return will be equally safe. And that's words of my good friend, the late Dick Gregory.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry to hear about the loss. You know about the loss. I know Mr. Dick Gregory has run for president, and he's well-respected and well-known.
That's right. Amen.
Your documentary is on YouTube, isn't it?
Yes, I did a documentary on the late James Byrd Jr., if a lot of people are not familiar, in 1998, Jasper, Texas. Three white men picked him up. He was leaving a birthday party, and they said they were going to take him home, and they did not take him home. They took him on Huff Creek Road in Jasper, Texas, where at nighttime, you can't even, in the daytime, you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It's so wooded. They took him there. They beat him. They chained him to the back of a pickup truck. They slit his throat. They spray painted his face, bust him in the head with bottles, and then they brutally chained him to a pickup truck, and they drug him, and the chains came off, and they rehooked him and drug him again, and body parts were over 3 miles in Jasper, Texas.
That's horrible, Mr. Ricky Jason. To be honest, he died almost as bad a death as Jesus Christ did.
Yes, he did. And the killing part about it, you know, when it first had happened, how I got involved, because I've been doing civil rights activist work with Dick Gregory and Martin III on Mumia Abu-Jamal, and I got a phone call in the middle of the night that a man was dragged in Jasper early in the morning, and Mr. Gregory told me I need to get down there to see where it's at, because I'm like 40 miles. Jasper Tech. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 40 miles away from there. So I jumped in a car with my camera, me and a news guy, a good friend of mine, and the smell out there was horrible. You can smell his flesh miles away, and you can even, the street that it was on, my flesh was in the grit and the grind. It was horrible. You know, they had everything blocked off. I was able to get through to see some of the stuff, what was going on out there in Jasper. So I immediately to Gregory, and Dick Gregory, and he called Reverend Sharpton, and they immediately came down to support the family of James Byrd Jr. The next week, a pastor in Houston contacted me, and she said that she needed me to meet with the Byrd family. I met the Byrd family in Jasper. I met Stella Byrd. I met Mary Byrd. And I met the son and some more other sisters of James Byrd. And they were very, very humble, nice people, sweet people. They asked for me to help them in any way that I can. I recorded a song called Love, Peace, and Harmony. And I gave it to the family. They loved it. And we did T-shirts of James Byrd with his arms spread and wide open in a cloud. And I also had a painting commission, and we showed it at Lamar University, which is a very prominent college in Beaumont, Texas. And we had the whole Byrd family there, mama, sisters. It's the first time all the sisters and the one brother. James Byrd only had one brother. and the father and the mother was all together at one time. But was very shocking to me that his kids weren't there. And I didn't know that he had kids until the daughter contacted me from Hawaii. She was in the military, and the son was in the military, James Bird's son, Ross Bird. And she had told me she liked what I was doing on her father, and could she have a T-shirt? And I said, sure, why not? So I had to go back to Jasper, Texas, to meet with Miss Bird because she wanted to talk to me. And I had told her granddaughter called me, and Miss Stella Bird told me that they don't fool with them, do not talk to them. And that kind of had me just stirred, you know, because that's his children. So I reported the word back to Dick Gregory and Martin III, and they were disturbed about it. And I went back to the Bird house over several times. While I was there, mail was coming in from all over the world. I mean, you had mail coming in from Oprah Winfrey, a lot of hip-hop groups. Dennis Rodman, Paul McCartney, a lot of people. And it was so much mail coming in that the Bird family, I was there sitting at the table when so much money was coming in. I mean, it was millions of dollars, which that was their business. And when I went back home, the children contacted me again, and they said they didn't know what was going on, that their grandparents and their sister and uncle and them wasn't giving them any of the donations. The people around the world, Ms. Butler, thought that the children of James Bird lived in Jasper, Texas, with their grandmother.
Okay, yes, sir.
So they didn't live there. They lived in Lufkin, Texas, with their mother. And Ross was in the military. He was 19, and Renee, and they had a little sister named Jamie. She was 14 at the time.
Okay.
And the children came back again, and I told Miss Bird I was talking to him again, and the mother of James Bird, she hung up in my face, and I didn't understand why, because I thought a death like this would bring a family closer.
Yes, you would believe that. You would think that would be the case.
Yes, then apart. And I stopped working with Bird's mother and his sisters, Clara and Mary Verrett. That's James Bird, two of his older sisters. He has older sisters, too. And I gave each one of them a print of the painting. So the Bird family contacted me and said that they wanted the original painting. And I told the Bird sisters that I wasn't through showing the painting around the country, that I didn't know what I was going to do with it. Later on, I gave the painting, me and my wife, Sharon, we donated the painting to his three kids. We gave it to the kids, and Dick Gregory said that was a good choice. And the Bird family has set up foundations and all kinds of organizations. They were touring with Reverend Sharpton all over the country, James Bird's father, James Bird Sr., and nobody knew of the kids. So I took it on my own to help the kids because they had asked for my help because they wasn't seeing any of those funds that people donated to his kids, because Dick Gregory say the kids are first before the mother, the father, and the sisters.
Yes, sir.
So I took the kids to meet with some attorneys out of Beaumont, Texas, Miss Melody Chappelle and Miss Nancy Hart, and they filed motions in Jasper Court to stop the Bird family or anybody from using James Bird Jr. name unless they got the right permission, and they're going to do it right. And I started managing James Bird's son. I had him on 60 Minutes with Dan Rather. I had him in New York Times Magazine. I had him on Ted Koppel when Ted Koppel did a town hall meeting in Jasper, Texas. I had him on there. And I also produced his album called Undeniable Resurrection. I managed James Bird's son for 5 years, and after his contract ended, parting my way, they parting their way. But in return of everything what I've done, the kids did give me a percent of ownership of their father's name, they said, because I did so much work for them, as well as one time they didn't even have a washer and dryer. We gave them a washer and dryer, and we also even at one time had to give the kids clothes and money. Not trying to tell that person a business, but I just want the world to know that's the Bird family feud. So later Dick Gregory contacted me, and he said, Jason, what I want you to do, I want you to go stay in Jasper for 2 or 3 months. I'm going to pay for your hotel expense and everything. And I want you to do a documentary on James Bird, because it was other documentaries that was done and they were sugar-coated. And I asked Mr. Gregory, I said, will you be on it and carry the documentary? He said, I would do that for you because I trust you and I want you to do it right. But before it go out, it needs to get my A approval. I went to Jasper. The city of Jasper contacted me, and they asked me if I do a documentary where I not talk about everything in it and where I sugarcoat it. And I told them no. And several times they stopped me from filming. They told me if they catch me back in Jasper again, they were going to take me to jail, and they didn't want me back in a town anymore. So I went back again.
Were the black people telling you this? Were the black people telling you this? Are the city officials? Who was telling you not to come back to Jasper, Texas?
The city officials and the police chief.
Well,
and I want,
want the truth to come out, because the way Mr. Bird died is horrible. And
yes,
the only reason he was murdered, Mr. Jason, is because he was black.
And that's the truth. And I explained that to the city leaders, and they said if I wasn't going to do it right, they didn't want me in their town. But I continued to keep going back and forth. I would skip a week, go back, skip a week. Like I said, I was staying there, and I interviewed James Bird teachers. I interviewed his classmates, and some of them have passed away since we did the documentary in 2008. I interviewed his kids are in the documentary, and the only reason why his sisters are not in it, they said if the kids were going to be in the documentary, that they didn't want no parts of it. So Dick Gregory said, keep continuing, because it's not about the sisters. It's about James Bird, and it's about our black history, and it's about how they done him, how they murdered and lynched him. He said, that's what it's about. So we can tell our kids, and they can tell their kids, and some more kids can tell some more kids. It's a documentary. I sent it to Dick Gregory. He contacted me back with his A approval. We put the documentary out. It's 2018. Until this day, we won over 46 awards worldwide. The documentary has been shown all over the country. And until this day, it's still showing. And I also went to visit with one of the killers that dragged James Bird. I went visit Sean Berry, and that was through the work of the SCLC Reverend, the late Reverend Randall T. Osborne. He orchestrated.
The SCLC is the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Yes, sir.
And they authorized me to go visit, make sure Sean Berry was speaking with sense. And Martin III and the son of James Bird will go in together to see him. So after I went in, talked to him, and he told me everything, what happened that night. And then Martin III and James Bird Jr.'s son went in to visit with Sean Bear, and he told them what had happened that night. All that's in the documentary. And I want to make something clear. James Bird Jr. was at a bridal shower at first for his niece, and then he left and went to a birthday party. They had a party, and the party was music. He was dancing. The guy, he even shows in the documentary where he was at, the house he was at. And James Bird did do some drinking. You know, he did a lot of drinking, but he still shouldn't have died that way. I don't care if he did crack. I don't care if he did crack, he shouldn't have died. I don't care if he was a bomb on the street, he shouldn't. I don't care if he was a billionaire, he shouldn't have died that way. And his sisters and everybody was there, and nobody wanted to take him home. So he decided to walk home. And when he was walking home, Bill King and Russell Brewer picked him up.
And when they
white supremacists, they picked him up, and then they went picked up Sean Berry, worked at a movie theater, and they went picked up Sean, and then they said they was just going to ride, and they had a cooler full of beer and stuff. They was just going to ride and drink, and he said they were playing the song of Willie Nelson while they was riding through the hills all up in Jasper, and they said the truck got stuck at one time. And Sean said, when I visited him, he said he didn't see why they didn't do nothing to bury it then. He said, so Bill King and Russell Brewer kept bouncing the back of the truck to get it unstuck. And when they got it unstuck, they kept on driving and jamming Willie Nelson. They said they stopped the truck. Bill King said he had to pee. And they told James Byrd to get in the front with Sean Berry. So him and Russell Brewer was in the back. They were whispering and stuff. It wasn't a big old big giant truck, like a medium-sized truck. And he said they stopped again when it was going through Huff Creek Road. That's a very, very dark area. And he said he heard the chains coming off the truck. And Sean said he couldn't believe what was going on. And I asked him what. He said they started fighting James Byrd. And said James Byrd was fighting. He was getting the best of them. And they said he fell down. And Bill King bust him in his head with a baller. He said, and then after that, he said they put the chains on him, and he was kicking and stuff. And they said he got up, and they said he was, and they was moving with the truck. And he said he was running as they was pulling him with the chain. And Sean said he was screaming and hollering, stop. He was hollering, mama. He said the chains came off of Bird. He said, and they stopped the truck again. And he said Bill King rehooked him back on the truck. He said when he rehooked him back on the truck, he said that he spray painted Bird's face. And he said then they started driving again. And they said it lifted him up in the air. And said Bill King said, Lord have mercy, look the nigga flying everywhere. And he said then they hit a pavement. And he said it felt like the whole truck just came apart. That was Bird's other part that came apart. And he said, Bill King said, God, the niggas flying everywhere. So they got a street called MLK in Jasper, and they got a church right there. So when they stopped, blood was everywhere, all over the truck, under the truck. It was over three to four miles. Said that another part of Bird that they chained was still hooked. It was still tied on. And said Russell Brewer was so mad. They say he just kept kicking that other part, kicking that other part, kicking that other part until he broke his foot. So when they arrested Russell Brewer, his foot was broke. And that's why his foot was broke, because when they came to MLK in front of that church, he broke it kicking James Byrd remains that was hooked on to the chain. But the other parts were scattered all out everywhere, head everywhere, teeth everywhere, leg or torso everywhere and stuff. But another part was still tied on to the chain. And so Sean Berry told the authorities where everything was. And I want to make everything clear, too. It wasn't the white police sheriff that helped discover the body. It was a little kid that was riding a bicycle, had saw that part, and he contacted the police, and the black sheriff was the one, and we did research, but they gave Billy Ross, the white sheriff, all the credit and stuff. The black sheriff wound up becoming the sheriff 5 years ago, and they fired him because of the color of his skin. So Dick Gregory went to Jasper, and he put a wreath on Bird's grave, and he spoke to the people in the church and telling them to not be afraid anymore, that times have changed, that, you know, we need to step up. But a lot of them were still afraid. But Dick did go put a wreath on Bird's grave, and then me and Mr. Gregory left and went to Huntsville, because that next night they had to schedule Russell Brewer to be executed. I want to make this clear. Mr. Gregory and Martin King and the daddy, Dr. King, we're all against capital punishment. we were protesting for him to stay in there and put pictures all around him of James Byrd 24/7 and just have him in a 4x4 just thinking about James Byrd to his truck, because killing him is too easy. But like Dick Gregory said, the courts, the jury gave him the death penalty. That's what should be carried out. And now to this day, today is the first day Russell Brewer is having a hearing. Russell Brewer is in Louisiana right now. This is the first time he's been off of death row. He's at a court hearing in New Orleans. 5 or 6 judges granted him a review. This man is worse.
This tells you something about the United States of America, especially the South still, because Texas is considered the South. So it's Florida and Georgia.
Yeah, it's Florida, Georgia.
Alabama, all that's the South. South Carolina, North Carolina, all that's the southern states. Go ahead, Mr. Jason.
Yeah.
How America is really, but it's been
And who can believe 2018 at this time? We have, you know, our president, Donald Trump, you know, he worked with KKK and Klansmen. I wonder if he knows that the leader, John William King, who the guards on death row told me he get a garbage bag full of mail every year because people worship him, some white people worship him as God for what he did to James Byrd, the way he lynched him and tore his body apart. And he was alive through most of the dragging. But the killing part about it, judges that's reviewing this case have to answer to God. I'm here.
Okay, what I was going to say is this. Not only do they have to answer to God, hasn't he exhausted all of his death row appeals? Because I know one man was executed.
Yes, he exhausted all of his appeals. John William King exhausted all of his appeals.
And I believe he was the one that said something to the Byrd family or the sisters in the courtroom.
Yes. He told the Byrd family after he was found guilty, asked if anything in the state of the Byrd family, he told them to suck his D-I-C-K. That's what John William King did.
And
right now. It's going to go on to probably until next week.
I don't see how you can stop after you exhaust all your peers, did the president do something? Did the governor do something to help that happen? Because it sounds illegal. I'm not a lawyer or anything, but that sounds illegal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that they let this devil be back in the courts again. If there's any time he should have left off of death row, and that was to be go and get a needle put in his arm for what he did to James Byrd. James Byrd died worse than Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And I just say to the Byrd family, I think y'all need to try to, this death should have pulled y'all even closer. And to this day, the family is not speaking. But I'm just here to keep James Byrd's legacy alive, his name alive, and the work that I did with Dick Gregory. And Dick Gregory put his 100 time into it. And I just want everybody to know that courtroom should have been packed. Sharpton, the NAACP, everybody should have been in that courtroom this week and next week while that man trial is going on. Because if you didn't think he could get a hearing, he could get out. Then what?
Seriously, gonna let him back on back into the general public. I mean,
people didn't think that he would get a hearing. People got to understand that the KKKs, they wearing uniforms now, they in robes now, they your everyday businessmen now, they your billionaires, they your record label owners and stuff. Racism is real in America, and people need to understand that. The younger youth need to understand. And Jasper, Texas, haven't changed. Just last week, somebody was killed again in Jasper. He was hung, and the news won't even tell what color he was. Last week.
How does sheriff there saying that the gentleman died? What was his name?
I don't know his name offhand. Yeah, but it was last week that happened in Jasper. An attorney and his kids were jogging, and they found his remains in Jasper. So there's been a lot of this going on in Jasper. They've been lynching black people for years in Jasper, and they still doing it in 2018. People need to wake up. People need everybody, every NAACP that was at all these other cameras and showings when this thing was going down with Byrd, they should have been at that hearing. This should have been,
Orleans,
this is a, in New Orleans, it's a very important hearing. This is important. This represents not just James Byrd, it represents all of us. It represents our future, and the town of Jasper need to be shut down. Because it ain't going, if it ain't changed in this year, this time it ain't gonna never change.
No.
Because there's nothing but a bunch of racist, redneck crackles, and the black people are afraid to leave up out of there because a lot of them can't read and write, and a lot of them don't know where they're going.
So they just stay there.
So they just stay there and they deal with it. And James Byrd's grave been vandalized twice. They tore his grave up twice. They still. And it's still damaging Byrd's legacy. But
legacy,
I put the document, yeah, his name.
That's evil. That, and you're right, Jasper, Texas should be closed. There shouldn't be people living in Jasper, Texas, because of the way Mr. Byrd was murdered in that horrific, horrible way, that just because his skin was black, because they wanted to kill a black person, because that could have been me. That could have been any member of my family. It could have been, Mr. Jackson, to say you that was killed that way, because I don't even believe they had any grudges against Mr. Byrd. I believe they just wanted to kill him, kill a black person. I really don't believe they had any grudges or any run-ins with him or anything like that. They just wanted to kill a black man. And I'm quite certain if it had been a black woman, they probably would have did the same thing. They're
going
to kill somebody black.
And make history.
Yeah.
So I guess this is chapter number 2. Bill King, 2018, is in court right now. He's somewhere in a hotel in New Orleans eating chicken and steak and laughing about how he done got back in a court for a review and have a hearing. You know, while black people sitting here, what? Well, some of us didn't know. You got court reporters. Some of them should have knew this hearing was coming up. They should have knew that, and they should have had people there. Sharpton should have been there. Jesse should have been there. All you people that when this first went down with Byrd, this is just as important as that. Y'all should have been in New Orleans.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir, it is. Mr. Ricky Jason, it is.
Yeah.
I know you told us to call you Ricky, but, you know.
Yeah. And our pastors in church and stuff. The pastors even should have been in New Orleans and Texas and everything. They should have called buses and they should have got all together and they should have went out there and they should have represented.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know.
I'd like to say something. Once again, it could have been me, you, our neighbors, someone we know from our communities, towns, cities, county, our family members. It could have been us, you, or me, Mr. Jason, and what's getting to me is what you just said. It's not getting to me because I've did stories on lynchings before, on lynchings and murder, like in Greenwood, Mississippi. But I've did other stories on murders. And he said he could walk free. The reason I'm saying this is because it's a very good chance that, you said, we deal with John William King. I said his name right.
Yeah, John William King. That's him.
No one thought he would get a trial. No one believed he'd ever get a trial, but look what's happening. He's got a trial. And as racist as the South is in America itself, and America itself is prejudiced and racist as they are, there's no telling. Honestly, he could walk out of the courtroom a free man.
Amen.
Because if he's exhausted all his feet, all his death row appeals, there's no reason why he should be in a New Orleans, Louisiana courtroom when he was found guilty in Texas for killing Mr. James Byrd Jr. for murdering him.
He was the ringleader.
He was the main man. He was the one started the organization, what he's in. We started that when he was in prison. So I say to everybody that was laughing when they say, oh, he's trying to get a hearing when he exhausted his appeals. Now, who getting the last laugh?
God, white supremacy. Mr. John William King, they're getting the last laugh because no one thought he'd get a trial. So if he got a trial, which I don't believe it's legal, but then I'm not a lawyer either. I don't believe that's legal. It may be, but if it isn't legal and they did it anyway, then they could just let him walk out the courtroom. He could do it again.
That's right.
So he's in the courtroom. It's documented. It's on pictures and cameras. And he told the family, the sisters, when he asked him, did he have anything to say to the family after he was found guilty, he told them to say that, suck his dick. I mean, so how sick, how evil can you get? That's a devil. That's a real demon. That's really Satan.
John King is worse than Hitler. John King is worse than the people that did the worst hate crimes in American history. And right now
in American history and committing the worst hate crime that's ever been in America. He made history. And Killing Ruth did it too there in Carolinas.
That's a shame. That's a shame. And this hearing gonna go on probably till all next week. I mean, Reverend Sharpton, wherever you at, you need to come on out. Or Jesse Jackson, wherever you at, you need to come on out. The NAACP, they were the main ones running up under this thing when it happened with James Byrd in 1998 with all the thousands of cameras in there. I was there. I seen it all. I was out there. They should have had that courtroom packed. That courtroom should have been packed. It shouldn't have been packed with King family and attorneys in the state because, like
it's
I
possible.
Said, people don't understand. Yes.
It's possible that they didn't know. They don't know. Cause, I mean,
they know because they have court
reporters.
Yeah, they know because they have court reporters, news reporters that report to the courts, and the courts have their own news reports. So they are aware. It's just that some of them, if it's not going to give them a shine, they're not going to step on it. They probably was told, oh, well, you better not step back up on this hill because if you come out on this hill, we're not going to give you that show. You know, Sharpton had his own show. We're not going to give you this show if you go and touch that James Byrd. Just leave that James Byrd thing alone. They want to sweep it under the rug. I'm in Beaumont, Texas, and it's racist as hell out here. You know, Dallas, all these places is racist. But the bottom line is they want to sweep his death under the rug. Long as I got breath to breathe and people can watch this documentary and people can know what's going on and we got social media, we got people like you, Angela Butler, to help us get this out to the world and stuff and not going to sugarcoat it because I've turned down 3 interviews already. I've been getting calls left and right. People don't understand how he have a hearing. He did it.
You're really an important black man because you're up there with Mr. Dick Gregory, Mr. Martin Luther King III, and so many other people in that documentary.
And I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, and Angela, I'm not going anywhere. The money that they wasted on John William King, it could be on very important cases, cases like Mumia Abu-Jamal that was railroaded, a former Black Panther. That case, because this money could have been spun on his case, but they rather wasted on some low-down, white, poor, redneck trash. That's
murderer.
What John William King, a murderer.
He is a murderer. Above
you know,
all the things you just call him.
You know,
a murderer. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. And he killed for no reason, just because.
And Angela, us black people done been through so much. Here it is, 2018.
2018 is still catching hell in this country. It doesn't make, it's like, I feel like sometimes like a hamster that's going round and round on a wheel.
Yes.
And no matter how fast I pedal, hamster pedals, I never go anywhere. Nothing ever changes. You get what I'm saying?
I feel you on that 100%.
Yeah, it's the same thing over and over. And no one black wants to see reality. you get the real reaction, well, I have white friends, I have a white man, or I have a white girl. They're not seeing the big picture. They're not seeing it. Well, when we're seeing things, they're not quite, in reality, people are not. If they really understood who's in office as president. And the gentleman in Alabama was a well-known supremacist. I think his name was Roy Moore. He's a well-known supremacist, like KKK in Alabama. He's just as prejudiced as they can get, but all they want to talk about how he messes with some women when they're little white girls, but he's a known supremacist. In the town I live in, there's not much difference. It's not.
And that's a shame. And these judges that granted, it had to be five or six or seven judges in New Orleans that granted this hearing, that have the time to sit and review this hearing, they're just as racist as John William King for them to even let this go down. They're just as racist as him.
Yeah, I tell you, anyone of any other race that is in America, whether it be north, south, east, west, Pacific, whatever, Pacific, it doesn't matter. If you are letting racism go on and you say, well, and the Caucasian person or the Chinese person saying, I didn't kill anybody, I didn't hang anybody, you're just as guilty. You're just as guilty as the police are for murdering people and just as guilty as those judges are because you refuse to do anything and step up to the plate because you just don't care.
And I have another thing to say. And if the late Dick Gregory would have been alive, we would have been in that courtroom. If he would have been alive today, we'd have been in that courtroom. He'd have been, let's go. We going. And whoever going to come, come with us. Whoever don't want to come, oh, well. Because one thing about Mr. Gregory, he didn't beg nobody to come on board. He said, when you do that, you start asking for favors. They automatically know that's an instinct to come on board. Sharpton them, they had the resource, the manpower, the buses, the big monies to get groups, and they should have packed that courtroom inside out in New Orleans. It should be packed. It should be breaking news, or it should be the top news. But people got to understand, you know, a black man don't run nothing.
A black woman don't run much either. And I'm a black
The white man, what is happening is going, is the Klansmen, they were trying to shade
women,
away.
They're killing black
going
women. They sending black women to prison for things they didn't do. They're doing black
the
women
Klan
away.
Is real. They reinforcing. John William King is their leader. He's their governor. And that's the reason why he's back in court. Those judges sitting in their robes made that decision behind closed doors. We don't know what he's doing.
Yes,
John William King is not locked up with everybody